إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا. أما بعد، once again it's a pleasure to welcome all of you. We continue our classes reading from Al-Murakhas Al-Fiqhi, this book of Islamic jurisprudence by our noble Shaykh Al-Allama Dr. Salih bin Fawzan Al-Fawzan, حفظه الله تعالى وغفر له ولوالديه وللمسلمين والمسلمات أمين. باب في كيفية الإحرام. This chapter tonight is about the Ihram. We're going to learn things about the Al-Ihram. قال أول, the first point, أول مناسك الحج هو الإحرام وهو نية الدخول في النسك. He says the first of the rites of Hajj, the rites, when he says the rites, mean R-I-T-E-S. The first rites of Hajj is Ihram. That's the first thing you do. This is how you start with your Hajj. Okay, that's Ihram. And what is Ihram? What is meant by Ihram is the intention. The intention you make for the Hajj, for that which you want to make, Hajj or Umrah. سُمِّيَ بِذَلِكَ أَنَّ الْمُسْلِمِ يُحَرِّمُ عَلَى نَفْسِهِ بِنِيَّتِهِ ما كان مباحا له قبل الإحرام من النكاح والطيب وتقليم الأظافر وحلق الرأس وأشياء من اللباس. Then the Shaykh Salih حفظه الله says it is named and called Al-Ihram because it has something to do with haram, which is forbidden. Why? Because at that moment when a person make the intention, for instance, for Hajj or for Umrah, there are certain things that become haram for the person to do. Before that intention, it was permissible, such as marriage. A person cannot get married while he is in a state of ihram until he finishes that which he put the ihram for. Likewise, tayyib. Alright, you don't put no oil, perfume, as long as you're still in a state of ihram. Likewise, cutting the nails or the hair, or for the men wearing clothes and the like. قال شيخ الإسلام ابن تيمية رحمه الله لا يكون الرجل محرما بمجرد ما في قلبه من قصد الحج ونيته، فإن القصد ما زال في القلب منذ خرج من بلده، بل لا بد من قول أو عمل يصير به محرما. And he mentioned a statement of Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah. He says a person is not considered on a state of ihram just because in his heart he has the intention to make hajj. Because if you ask someone who's going for hajj this year, he knows he's going for hajj. And he knows that some people they know from last year, inshallah, this year. Some people they even pay their money earlier, you know. He said that's not enough. And listen, until that person say it with his tongue at the miqat, say labbaik Allahumma hajj, or labbaik Allahumma umrah, or by action also. The action meaning that he goes to the miqat, put on the clothing of ihram, and engage in a state of ihram. The second point the Shaykh mentioned is a major point. قال وقبل الإحرام يستحب التهيئ له بفعل أشياء يستقبل بها تلك العبادة العظيمة. Before this point of ihram, he said it is recommended. It's not obligatory, but it is recommended that the Muslim prepare for, by doing certain things, preparing himself or herself for this great act of worship. Okay? So it's not just put the clothing on and go and say Labbaik Allahumma Umrah or Labbaik Allah. There is certain things that are recommended. It's good for us to know these things and to prepare for the Ihram. Awalan, number one from these things, Al-Ightisal bijami'i badanihi. فَإِنَّهُ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهُ وَسَلَّمْ اِغْتَسَلَ لِإِحْرَامِهِ وَلِأَنَّ ذَلِكَ أَعَمْ وَأَبْلَغْ فِي التَّنْظِيفِ وَإِزَالَةِ الرَّائِحَةِ. Number one from the number of things that the pilgrim, the person who's intending to make Hajj or Umrah, because the Ihram is required for both. Whenever you make Umrah or Hajj, the Ihram is required. Okay? So you have to be in a state of Ihram. So the first thing you do to prepare for the state of Ihram is to take a bath by washing your entire body. The Prophet ﷺ did this. The Prophet ﷺ, he took a bath before he engaged in the state of Ihram. So then this is the Shaykh because this is better so that you can remove all the bad smell or any smell that is in your body. والاغتسال عند الإحرام مطلوب حتى من الحائض والنفاس. And this is including even the women who they are on their menses, or they are on their postnatal bleeding, and they want to make Hajj or Umrah, they do this too. They prepare themselves for the إحرام as well. لأن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم أمر أسماء بنت عميس وهي نفساء أن تغتسل رواه مسلم. Why? Because the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم in his trip for Hajj was this woman أسماء بنت عميس. She was with them, this female companion رضي الله عنها, but she was on her postnatal bleeding because she gave birth. She was نفساء. But the Prophet ﷺ, he said, okay, take a shower too. Do what the people do. Okay? The only difference is that these women, the women in their menses or in their postnatal bleeding, as the Shaykh is going to mention later on, the only thing that they don't do once they get to the Kaaba, to the Mecca, they don't make tawaf. If a woman in her menses or on a postnatal bleeding, they do everything. They prepare themselves for the Ihram. At the Miqat, they say Labbaik Allahumma Hajj or Labbaik Allahumma Umrah, and they make Talbiyah, and they go. Once they reach Mecca, they stay where they at, whether a hotel, a villa, apartment, any place, and they do not make the Umrah, they wait. If the blood stop and their cycle come to an end, they take a shower and make the Umrah. But if the blood continue with them until the Hajj started on the 8th of the Hijjah, they just go straight to the Hajj and they skip the Umrah. Okay? We'll get to that later on, inshallah. وَأَمَرَ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ عَائِشَ أَن تَغْتَسِلْ إِحْرَامَ بِالْحَجِّ وَهِيَ حَائِضٌ. Likewise, Aisha radiallahu anha, when she made Hajj with the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, she was in her menses. And that's what I just mentioned right now exactly happened to Aisha radiallahu anha. Because Aisha, when the Prophet ﷺ went to make Hajj, Aisha radiallahu anha, she was in her menses. So she did everything. She took a shower too at Medina. She made the Ihram at the Miqat. But then once they get to Mecca, she couldn't do the Umrah. Why? Because the woman in her menses is not permissible for her to make Tawaf. So she waited. But her menses didn't come to an end until the 8th of the Hijjah, when the Prophet ﷺ went to Mina, then she went with them. Okay? She went with them, alhamdulillah. And the Prophet ﷺ, he said to her, your Hajj is enough for you. But you know the story. She insisted and asked the Prophet ﷺ to allow her to make a Umrah. And alhamdulillah, the Prophet ﷺ was very nice and kind to his wives. And he allowed her to make a Umrah. قال والحكمة في هذا الاغتسال هي التنظيف وقطع الرائحة الكريهة وتخفيف الحدث من الحائض والنفساء. He says now the wisdom behind this bath taken before Ihram is to purify yourself. Person purify themselves, and also removing any bad smell. And as for the woman in her menses or on a postnatal bleeding, that will take away from the major impurity, تخفيف الحدث. Okay, by her taking a ghusl, that will diminish from that major state of impurity. That was awwalan. That's the first of the number of things the pilgrim or the one who's making umrah do. They do to prepare themselves for ihram. Thaniyan, number two, يُسْتَحَبُّ لِمَنْ يُرِيدُ الْإِحْرَامَ التَّنْظِيفِ. It is recommended for anyone who, for people before they engage in state of ihram, to do certain things, you know, so that their body be pure and clean, such as أَخْدُوا مَا يُشْرَعُ أَخْدُهُ مِنَ الشَّعْرِ, by taking from the hair that which is permissible for us in the legislation to take. كشعر الشارب والإب والعانة مما يحتاج إلى أخذه. For instance, the mustache, you trim it down. The one who has his mustache need to be trimmed, trim it. But the one who his mustache is already trimmed, he doesn't have to do it. Likewise, the armpits, the hair or in the armpits, you know, you take it, you pluck it off or out, or you shave it. If somebody don't have no hair, he doesn't have to do it. Or also the pubic hair. طيب لئلا يحتاج إلى أخذه في إحرامه فلا يتمكن منه. Why? Because this one he doesn't have to be bothered now in a state of ihram. Because these are, I can remember, these are the things it's not permissible for a person to do in a state of ihram. Okay. فإن لم يحتاج إلى أخذ شيء من ذلك لم يأخذه لأنه إنما يفعل عند الحاجة وليس هو من خصائص الإحرام لكنه مشروع بحسب الحاجة. The Sheikh says, trimming your nails, the trimming down the mustache for men and the pubic hair and the armpits and the like. He says this is if it's needed. If it's not needed, no, you don't do it. He said it should not be looked at this, that this is it have to be done before ihram. Some people, they have no nails and they carry on the meat. And they think they have to do that. No, you don't have to. If you have no fingernails, that's it. Don't do anything. Leave him alone. Aynam. So this is not from the characteristics of ihram that you have to cut your nails, you have to do this. If it's needed. نعم. ثالثا يستحب لمن يريد الإحرام أن يتطيب في بدنه بما تيسر من أنواع الطيب كالمسك والبخور وماء الورد والعود لقول عائشة رضي الله عنها كنت أطيب رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم لإحرامه قبل أن يحرم ولحله قبل أن يطوف بالبيت متفق عليه. Number three from the things that it is recommended for the person, this is for the men, because it's not permissible for the woman to put perfume and leave the house. Okay? So, that the men also, it is recommended for them to put some perfume. Okay? Whether misk, bukhur, oud, or something else. Okay? Something that smells good. Some perfume. Because Aisha radiallahu anha said in this hadith that is collected by Imam al-Bukhari, Imam Muslim, rahimahumullah, and hadith is agreed upon, therefore, by these great scholars. She said she used to put the perfume on the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam before he engaged in a state of ihram. The ulama, they says, of course, this is happen after you take a shower. Take a shower, then you put the perfume. Okay? Then, so they can stay. And she said also she used to put the perfume on the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam on the 10th day of the Hijjah, when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam Because on that tent of the Hijrah, we're going to get to it later on, but just so you understand. The Prophet, because on the tent of the Hijrah, when you come back from Muzdalifah that morning, because the 8th, the Hijrah, the pilgrims, they go to Mina, they spend the night in Mina. I'm going to give you briefly, okay? Then, the morning of the 9th of the Hijrah, they go to Arafah. They stay there all day. They are not allowed to leave before sunset. At sunset, they leave to go where? To Muzdalifah. They spend the night in Muzdalifah. They stay there until they pray Fajr. And they make dua until right before sunrise. They leave Muzdalifah. Except for the Prophet ﷺ, for elderly and people with conditions and this and sick people, the Prophet ﷺ allowed them to go in after the middle of the night. They can leave. After the middle of the night, they can leave. But the rest of the people, they stay there until they pray Fajr in Muzdalifah and they make dua, which is recommended, is not obligatory. And before sunrise, they leave towards Jamarat, towards Mina again. And these are the things that you do on that day. You throw Jamarat. There is three Jamarat. Jamarat Sughra, Al-Wusta, Al-Aqaba, Al-Kubra. On that day, only one, the last one, towards Mecca. 7 pebbles. And you shave. The ulama, he says, and you slaughter. So that's what the Prophet ﷺ, he did. He says, so when the Prophet ﷺ throw Jamrat al-Aqaba and shave, slaughter, he took a shower because he has to go make tawaf, tawaf al-hajj. Okay? So she said that she used to do this when the Prophet ﷺ shave, throw the Jamarat and shave his hair. Okay? And because at that time you can come out from the ihram, the ulama, they call it tahallul al-awwal. Everything, if a person do 2 things, for example, jamrat al-aqaba and shave, then everything becomes permissible for him except for his wife. And if he do the tawaf, then his wife becomes permissible for him as well. Tayyib. So since I have to tell you this so you understand what she mean by before tawaf. That's on the 10th day of the Hijjah, not any tawaf. Because there is different times when you make tawaf in Hajj. Tawaf al-Qudum, tawaf al-Ifada, tawaf al-Wada'. Okay? Tayyib. قال شيخ الإسلام ابن تيمية رحمه الله إن شاء المحرم أن يتطيب في بدنه فهو حسن ولا يؤمر المحرم قبل الإحرام بذلك فإن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم فعله ولم يأمر به الناس. شيخ الإسلام ابن تيمية رحمه الله he says the person who is preparing himself for a state of ihram, if he wish himself to put some perfume on, it's okay. Nobody should order anyone to put some ihram. You have to learn. Because the Prophet ﷺ, he put some on him, in himself, okay? Some tayyib, okay? But he did not command anyone to do so. Tayyib? So far we took how many points? 3. Number 1? Al-ghusl min al-janaba? Laysa min al-janaba. Al-ghusl, bas. Laysa min al-janaba. Al-iqtisal. Number 2, what? Al-tandif. Take whatever need to be taken from your hair, like the... Not the beard, because that's not permissible. When hajj or no hajj, okay? And also, number 3, what is it? At-tatayyub, ay na'am, you put some perfume, tayyib. Rabi'an, and number 4, what was it? Okay, tayyib. So I didn't mention number 4, right? Okay, so I'm not sure you're with me. Rabi'an, يستحب للذكر يعني للرجال قبل الإحرام أن يتجرد من المخيط. Now, this is for men. This number 4 is for the men, not for the women. Only for men. That the men, after taking a shower, putting perfume and all that, getting themselves ready, now they don't wear any clothing. Nothing. They call it al-makhit. Some people, they confuse this word makhit with khayt. Al-khayt is the thread. The thread, meaning something that have a thread in it. No. So the al-makhit, some people, they that's why a lot of people ask, this question is one of the most universal questions asked in Hajj, the ulama. Ya Shaykh, this ihram, look, he has khuyur, he has threads in it, it's sewn. I can't wear it. He says, no, you wear it. He says, it says makhir. He says, no, that's not what he means. Makhir meaning any clothing that fits your body. You see? Anything that you fit in, you fit your head in it, you fit your arms. For example, give me an example. T-shirts. I said the head and the hands. So no socks, that's the feet. And the feet too, you can put the feet so you can give the examples, make it easy, okay? Such as T-shirts, such as thobes, qamis, such as
pants,
hats, kufis, socks, what else?
Gloves,
yes, what else?
Jacket. Underwear.
Underwear, that's what I was looking for. Underwear too. Okay? Green jacket, yellow, all of this. Same. Alright? All of this. The color has nothing to do with that, okay? Tayyip. So this is for the men, okay? So you don't wear any of that, okay? Because the Prophet ﷺ did that. ويستبدل الملابس المخيطة بإزار ورداء أبيضين نظيفين ويجوز بغير الأبيضين مما جرت عادة الرجال بلبسه. So what the men do? The men, they cover, of course, they gotta cover their aura. How? Two pieces of cloth. Two pieces. They have to be big enough to cover the person. One is gonna be around his waist, okay, and cover the bottom part of his body from the waist down. Alhamdulillah, there is a method to put it so that it doesn't fall off. And remember, that's the last line. Okay? And also, that's why the ulama, they say it's permissible to put a, what they call it, a belt. Now they call it a money belt. Right? Because they have, that belt come with furhaj. Those are belts for furhaj. It's not like the belts that you buy from CK or those things, right? Now this is a belt that has pockets. One pocket for the money, one pocket for cell phone, one pocket for your Tylenol, another pocket for Hisnul Muslim, alhamdulillah, or for that little pamphlet of Hajj, and another pocket for those candies, what do you call them? For the throat.
Cough drops,
they know them. Those who made Hajj, they know them. Those come handy. The cup drops. You need them. Or somebody else needs them. Because Shaykh al-Uthaymeen, rahimahu wa ta'ala, subhanAllah, he says, the person, this trip of Hajj is a trip that of good, because he wants to get the most barakat and the most ajr and the most good of it. He said, that's why, if you're able, take with you stuff that even you may not use yourself, but so you can help others. You see? For instance, take some extra money. You have money, take some extra and give to those who don't have it. Especially in the end of the Hajj, people, they go to the market, they want to buy stuff for their loved ones, for their kids, but they got no money. They just go, oh man, my son would love that. If I know I brought the money, you go, hierarchy, it's for you. But, la, wallahi, how many kids do you have? Five. Alright, it's all on me. Kid. Get two, three, so you see, that's khair. You make him happy, he's going to make dua for you, Allahu Akbar. Is it? Money don't make dua for you. Likewise, Shaykh al-Uthaymeen, he says, you take more money, you know, so you can buy food for the people. And if you want to take a cab or a taxi to go here or there, you're the one that paying, now it's on me. Is the bus stop somewhere, you go, you buy a whole case of cold water and juice. It's good. People make dua for you and you're making a lot of good for your Hajj. And also he says you take some medication with you, some band-aid, some Tylenol, some just in case somebody gets sick, or especially if the people they go on for the first time, they don't know what to expect, and while they're there, I wish if I had known I could bring this. So, what are you looking for, Akhi? You have a bag, one bag only for this stuff. These goodies. Oh, what are you looking for? No socks and it's cold. I got you here. Two pair of socks. SubhanAllah, my shoes broken. Akhi, I didn't bring sandals. I didn't bring sandals. It's Saudi, it's hot. Brother, they bring Timberland. You know? I've always seen brothers walking in Timberland. Man, it's like, SubhanAllah, hot. It's like, Akhi, what you need? Just come here, come with me, go. What's your size? 44. And over there, see, they don't have 12 and 10 and 11. So they have the other size, okay? The European size. I got you. You go, come back with flip-flop or some sandals for him. That's Hajj. You get the most of good deeds, alhamdulillah. You go get you some bananas. You don't just buy two bananas for yourself and come and eat them in front of 60 people looking at you. 120 eyes. How will you get that, brother? Their eyes on the banana. No, you bring a box. You bring a big box, alhamdulillah, and you put it, ikhwan, tafaddal wa masah. Allahu Akbar, ma jazakallahu khair, ma la. See, making dua for you, for your family, Allahu Akbar. Now, so the Shaykh Al-Uthaymeen, rahimahullah ta'ala, he says, no, not Shaykh Al-Uthaymeen, that's what he said. Now we go back to the Shaykh who? Shaykh Saleh Al-Fawzan, hafidhahullah. He says, so the man don't wear his regular clothing in the ihram. So that, like I says, the two piece of cloth, one to cover the bottom part of your body from the waist down, like an izar. You see, you used the izar before, right? Huh? This is how you do it. But alhamdulillah, now you can put that belt on it, tie it. And like I said, that belt come handy, alhamdulillah, not just a belt, you can put your stuff, he has zippers, alhamdulillah. And the other piece of cloth, you put it on your shoulders to cover the upper part of your body. Now, that's all you have while you're in a state of ihram, until you finish that which you made your intention to do, and then you can take the ihram, the clothing, and you can take your shower and put your clothing again. Okay? Now, for instance, when you finish the Umrah. Once you finish the Umrah, then you're allowed to go to the hotel, mashallah, take a shower, and you wear your regular clothing. Wait until the 8th of the Hijjah, and you do the same thing again. We're going to get to that later on. The Shaykh said it is, cloth for men to be white and clean. But they don't have to be white. They have to be from another color, as long as from those colors that the men they wear, okay? Could be brown, it could be blue, inshallah, labas, okay? But one thing I can tell you, it's the material has to be thick, you remember? It can't be like see-through material, because you remember that the man has nothing, so maybe thicker material, inshallah, ta'ala. قال والحكمة في ذلك أن يبتعد عن الترفه ويتصف بصفة الخاشع الدليل وليتذكر بذلك أنه محرم في كل وقت فيتجنب محظورات الإحرام. He says the hikmah why the man came out of their clothing and put these two pieces of cloth around them because now they perform an act of ibadah, so they don't look at themselves and they have to dress in regular occasions. No. So now he's doing an act of ibadah. So he has to humble himself in front of his Lord. And also that those piece of cloth, they remind you that you are in a state of ihram. Whenever you look at them, I'm in the ibadah, I'm still in a state of ihram. So that they remind you to stay away from those things that you don't supposed to do while you're in a state of ihram. وكذلك ليتذكر الموت ولباس الأكفان ويتذكر البعث والنشور لغير ذلك من الحكم. Likewise from the wisdom, those whenever you when once you put those two, you remember death. Should remind you of death. Why? Because that's what they're gonna do with you when you die. When any one of us die, they're not gonna wrap you in Tommy Lee or something, jeans or state property t-shirts. No. It's two pieces of cloth. White. So when you look at that ihram, you're like, subhanAllah. So it reminds you of death. And of course it reminds you of the the shrouding, they're going to shroud you. Nobody is buried in his jacket, nice North Face or whatever they call it, right? North Face?
North Pole.
North Pole. Is no North Face? Yeah, he is North Face. You don't have it in Oklahoma? Oklahoma is colder. Yes, there is North Face. Southwest. Airlines. Tayyib. So you remember death and you remember the back, the resurrection, and the standing in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He said, this is some of the hikam, some of the wisdom of the men wearing that. As for the women, their regular clothing are the ihram. They don't have, some women, subhanAllah, they go and wear all white too and confused with the men. The ulama, they says no, it's not permissible for them. The women to wear the whole white and they be with men. You don't know who's the man, who's the woman. They should wear the regular clothing. They don't have their own regular clothing or not for ihram. They're whatever they wear, except that the woman, she don't wear the niqab, she don't wear gloves. Now, another point the Shaykh mentioned, وَالتَّجَرُّدْ مِعَنِ الْمَخِيطِ قَبْلَ نِيَةِ الْإِحْرَامِ سُنَّةِ أَمَّا بَعْدَ نِيَةِ الْإِحْرَامِ فَهُوَ وَاجِبٌ. So to put these two pieces of cloth before the intention of ihram is a sunnah. You can do that, like you can prepare in your house. If you're traveling by plane, for example, you can prepare in your house. You take a shower and put the ihram and go to Atlanta airport, no problem with that. You can do that if you want. But to have those clothing on and no other clothing except those two pieces for the men, is an obligation, is wajib, at the time of the miqat, when you make the intention of ihram. Okay, when you're going to say labbaik allahumma umrah, at that moment you have to have those. Okay, ayna. So that's why sometimes if you're in Medina, for example, and you're, they said tomorrow we're going to go to Mecca, and as I mentioned that in the previous class, then that morning, alhamdulillah, before the trip, you take a shower and prepare yourself. And then at that moment you can put your, you can put at least the bottom one, you can put it on, and you may still have an underwear on if you want, and also a t-shirt, if it's cold or something, you can still have a t-shirt, you can still have a kufi or taqiyya on, no problem, okay? But once the bus gets to the miqat, which is, what's the name of the miqat, the Medina, remember? Give me the one in the hadith and then give me what's name now, what he's called now. Dhul Hulayfa. Dhul Hulayfa is the one that is the name in the hadith. But now they call it Mahmud Abyar Ali. Abyar Ali. But then once you get to Abyar Ali, Dhul Hulayfa, that's the miqat. Then at that time, you remove your t-shirt if you have it, underwear if you have it, and the kufi, and then you say, labbaik Allahumma umrah, and you go, you see? No. Because sometimes people, they don't know. At the hotel in Medina, they see somebody with the kufi, haram, akhi, take that off. They see another person with a t-shirt, akhi, haram, move that. No. At that moment, still okay, it's permissible for you to do that. But once you say labbaik Allahumma umrah at the miqat, at that moment nothing should. And sometimes the person, he forget. Okay, and we mentioned that before, if someone forget, لا بأس عليهم. If he remember himself, he remove his kufi or his t-shirt or his underwear. Because it happened to me sometimes in a trip or in a bus, we're almost in Mecca, somebody goes, Akhi, brother just told me that even underwear we shouldn't have. I said, yeah. What I'm going to do, Akhi, now? I'm going to slow down. I said, take it easy, man. You didn't know? No. Just take it off now, nothing against you. Because that person, he didn't know, or somebody who forgets. Tayyib. قال وَنَوَى الْإِحْرَامُ عَلَيْهِ ثِيَابُهُ الْمَخِيطَ صَحَّ إِحْرَامُهُ وَجَبْ عَلَيْهِ نَزْوَ الْمَخِيطَ. The Shaykh says also, if a person made the intention of ihram, say labbaik Allahumma umrah, while he still have the regular clothing on, that intention is correct, but he has to remove those clothing immediately and put on the izar and the rida. Another point, he says, فَإِذَا أَتَمَّ هَذِهِ الْأَعْمَالِ فَقَدْ تَهَيَّأَ لِلْإِحْرَامِ. So if a person finished these preparations, now he is ready for ihram. He is ready for the ihram. وَلَيْسَ فِعْلُ هَذِهِ الْأُمُورِ إِحْرَامًا كَمَا يَظُنُّ كَثِيرٌ مِنَ الْعَوَامِ لِأَنَّ الْإِحْرَامَ هُوَ نِيَّةُ الدُّخُولِ وَالشُّرُوعِ فِي النُّسُكِ. And doing all this preparation from the washing and the trimming and the cleaning and all this, this has nothing to do with the ihram. The ihram is the intention that when you say لبيك اللهم عمرة or when you say لبيك اللهم حج. Right? What else can you say? لبيك اللهم عمرة لبيك اللهم حج لبيك اللهم عمرة متمتعا بأهل الحج. What else? That's it. Huh? That's what you say. نعم. فلا يصير محرما بمجرد التجرد من المخيط ولبس ملابس الإحرام من غير نية الدخول في النسك لقوله صلى الله عليه وسلم إنما الأعمال بالنيات. So a person, just because a person took a shower, also the Shaykh is there, just because a person took a shower, take off the clothing, put the izar and the rida, now that's enough. No, it's not enough. Unless he say لبيك اللهم عمرة or لبيك اللهم حج and the like. Another point the Shaykh mentioned, أما الصلاة قبل الإحرام. Now here is a very important point. A lot of people, they confuse with it. Performing the prayer before إحرام, before saying لبيك اللهم حج, or before you say لبيك اللهم عمرة, performing a prayer. قال فالأصح أنه ليس للإحرام صلاة تخصه. He says the correct opinion is that there is no specific prayer that you perform before you get in ihram. Some people, they think they have to pray torakat. And they think that if they don't pray this torakat, their ihram is not valid and their umrah is having a problem with their umrah. No. There is no special salat for the ihram to be performed before the ihram. قال الشيخ لكن إذا صادف إن صادف وقت فريضة أحرم بعدها لأنه صلى الله عليه وسلم أهل دبر الصلاة. وعن أنس أنه صلى الظهر ثم ركب راحلته. He says, but if the time when that person is finished from his preparation, it was time for salat, and he prayed, and then after the salat say لبيك اللهم حج or لبيك اللهم عمرة, that's okay. That's what happened with the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, because the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, when he as Anas radiallahu anhu mentioned in the hadith, when the Prophet ﷺ make it to Dhul Hulayfa, it was Dhuhr time. It was Dhuhr. So the Prophet ﷺ, he prayed Dhuhr, and then when he ride, when he was on his mount, on his camel, she camel, then he said, لبيك اللهم, he made the niyyah. Some people, they took from that, now we have to pray two rak'ahs, and then make the intention. Inshallah ta'ala, we're going to stop here. We'll continue next week. Inshallah ta'ala, hada wa sallallahu wa sallam ala Muhammad ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam wa taslimun kathira.